You blessed it. Use it for your glory. Father, I ask that you touch the heart of Linda and touch her body. We pray that your will be done through her. And Father, we ask that you just be with us and help me get comfortable with what's going on with her. Father, bring your Holy Spirit into her and blow a new life. Father, I pray that you be with us as we worship your name and only your name. Father, we thank you for everything you give us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's okay. I just play the music and do the PowerPoint.
Sing a little louder. My name is Karabo Moretlani. I was born in Lesotho, Southern Africa, and was raised in the villages. When I was about 5 years old, I lost my father. And not long after my father's death, my mother left me at my grandmother's house, and I never saw her for years. So my grandmother became a mother. She taught me a lot of things, including how to read and write. But most importantly, she taught me about God. Loneliness in my life began when I lost my grandma, the woman who raised me. I had to say goodbye to my love, to my grandmother. Then a year after my grandma's passing, my mother also passed away. I was faced with the sad reality of being an orphan, which is something that I dreaded the most. I had a home and a house in the villages, but I had no parents. I was alone. My uncle brought me into his home in the city. It was there in the city that I met a friend, actually, who invited me to a church. There was a truck filled with these shoeboxes. I received a shoebox myself. And I remember that shoebox filled one of the holes in my heart, and that was the hope of having something that belonged to me. I had lost everything, so the gift of the box gave me that hope, this belongs to me, and it really filled my heart. I realized God gave me what I was always in need of. I made a choice to personally seek Him. Today, I have a family and I'm no longer an orphan. I know I'm chosen. Someone took their time to work hard and to pack my shoebox, and God used them to give me hope and to feel what my heart was in need of. So today, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So I'm asking you to go prepare a gift today. Pack a shoebox. Give someone hope and love somebody today. And spread the gospel.
Okay, that would work. Yeah. So next Sunday is the last Sunday you could get your boxes into us. Martin keeps saying after Thanksgiving, but according to the thing, you're supposed to be collected. Oh, a day after Thanksgiving is when the collection starts for the shoe boxes. A day after Thanksgiving. We sat and argued about it, but I gave up. I said, it's on you. But no. All right, you got a song for us?
Worship His majesty.
So I got Mike, who's Mike?
Reverend Mike.
Reverend Mike. Oh, Reverend Mike, yes.
I gotta go to grab, so you have to come out for service.
I haven't heard from him in a year or so. He still lives in his trailer?
10 years ago.
Oh.
He's living in a nice house in Chico, yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Any on your end? How's your family doing? Good. Good. We were doing Bible study and everything just shut down on me. Music, lights, all that. I said, what was it meant to be then? It was time to go home. It was nice to see the grandkids today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for your love. We ask that you be with us as we lift our prayer request up to you. Again, we ask for prayer for Linda. Give her comfort and joy through this process. It's a difficult time in our lives once again. We ask that you will heal her body and to come out of this a lot stronger than she was. Father, I ask that you would just be with Mike and Aaron with her meeting with her doctor and getting surgery done. Father, we pray for just people in general, the way things are going at this point, and people are suffering and needs your help and your spirit. Father, I thank you for your joy that you give us through your work of people's lives. We thank you for everything you do for us. We ask that you be with us now as we continue to worship in song. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more.
to the church and tithes, and just pray that God will do his wonders and his spirit through this ministry. Gifts that you've given us today. I ask that you will just take them and spread them out. Let the world know that Big's ministry is here. Allow them to come worship with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about false teachers. And we will do a little rundown with chapter 1. It's when teachers go south. You know, the danger of false teachers go all the way back to the beginning, but the Bible shows the name, but the student got really irritated with me and started to get an attitude. So I literally picked up a book. I literally picked up this book. I said, "You want to give me an attitude?" Boom, like that. And we had another teacher say, "Hey, Pastor, you better get here because this guy's going nuts." Everything was solved. I was the principal. I'm not saying. But anyways, or when I went to Pensacola to study the curriculum, I got a phone call. It was like a 3-hour time or 2-hour time frame. And I hear one of the students threw a desk at another person. I said, "What?" So, you know, teachers are really difficult. Some teachers are great to be with, some teachers are not. But you know what? You know what teacher really studies. You know what teacher at heart. You know it was great. But when we look at 2 Peter, chapter 1 opens up with the wonders of God's provision helps us become like him. His power. He gives us his power. He gives us his provision. His precious promises. If you look throughout the Bible, you can see the promises that he's given us. Our participation in the divine nature. See, when we become a Christian, we're supposed to take on who Christ is and take on his features and take on his attitude and take on everything that you want from him. His deliverance from protection from corruption. Something to think about. We'll see a list of 7 virtues we call to grow in the exhortation to devote ourselves to this calling. We are called. We are called to be Christ-like. We are called to be who Christ is. And it's difficult for us because we have that sin nature. But when we accept Christ in our life, our sin nature is pushed aside. The election, as we look forward to the rich welcome into eternal glory, chapter 1, 5 through 11. Finally, there's a reminder with great assurance that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a historically reality witness to the eyewitness and verify the prophetic writings by those who receive the message directly from the Holy Spirit, 12:21. This book is given by the writers to a spiritual direction. Yes, it's written by men, but it's not inerrant. It's not wrong. It's written by God through the Holy Spirit to the person who wrote it. And it's written to those that the author and the Holy Spirit choose to write it to. But we are able to glean through the Word of God. Not all of it is for us, but majority is for us. To the Jews, to the Greek, to the Gentiles. That's chapter 1. We turn our attention to chapter 2 as we spoke about the false teachers. Exposing and warning against the evil of prophets and teachers. Now, check me all the time. I might be wrong. You might say, "Hey, Pastor, I think you might got this wrong," or something. But check my avenue. Check the scripture to make sure I'm doing things right. And that's the only way to check your teachers out. I do that because when I'm tutoring somebody, I make sure I have the teacher's book I've mentioned before. I make sure that everything's right that she's getting. And you'd be surprised what goes on, as I mentioned earlier. Christians within the churches that Peter is addressed, what are they doing there? They are secretly introducing destructive heresies that has potential to bring the way of truth in dispute. Have you ever seen a church in dispute? Have you seen a church and the people are like spread apart? Did you know that the type of carpet could split a church? Or a color of a carpet can split a church? Or if somebody gives a certain thing for a church, they get upset, "Well, I give to the church, and this is what I give it for." It's like they don't trust the pastors and the leaders. They among the Christians within the church Peter is addressing. They are secretly introducing destruction, heresy that has potential to bring the way of the truth disputed. What is the false prophet, false teacher's agenda? Peter gives this very long list. They even denied the Lord. We had someone come in a couple years ago, denied that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They do is just send them out. Send them out. Get them out of here. We don't want it. They are greedy or covetous. They exploit those who listen to them. Some of them follow their corruption desires and despite authority. They are not afraid to blaspheme angels or God in verse 10 and 12, 10 through 12. They rival their pleasures and have eyes full of adultery. They seduce the unstable, and they are experts in greed. They mouth empty, boastful words that appear to lustful desire. They promise freedom, but themselves enslave. Have you ever watched a show? It's on ID channel. Who's watched ID channel? I do. You're my friend. They used to have the show called The Cults, and people would go to the cults, and you hear some bad stories. Do you not? I don't know. Did anybody watch the cults on ID channel? Watch some of them. Yes. Yeah. It's like these people are just memorized with this stuff. You know, and the leader has like five or six wives and about 30 children. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there are cults even. I mean, you can remember back in the 90s when they were talking about the cult down in Africa or South America, I think it was. Yeah, Jim Jones. Yeah, Jim Jones. There's a story here. A pastor tells us that he receives a package from a lady, a sweet little Christian widow from Concord, New Hampshire. She sends me these things about every week. This week, the clippings were all about appointments to Gene Robinson, an openly gay priest as a bishop in the Episcopal Church. And this is the pastor telling us this. Let me just share a couple of brief lines from the two of them. Katrina Morgan writes, "I congratulate the Episcopal Church for making the right decision on the matter of Gene Robbins. If the acceptance of Gene does not indeed causes the schism that many fear, it will be a positive thing for the church. It can only be good to separate from those who use the Bible to condemn the lives of others." And on their side, Peter Jensen, Archbishop from Sydney, Australia, state that the American are turning away from the clear teaching of Scripture. Flip on the channel. I get tired of watching these channels now. I turn on the faith-based. I watched like four movies yesterday. Because I'm sitting in my house. I only can eat so much. The dogs are... I'm sitting here, man, Katie, you snore loud. And I watched a little boy who couldn't speak, couldn't hear, and the dad gave up. Can you imagine God giving up on us? No. But this movie showed this little boy being given up, but the mother stayed next to the boy and finally learned how to do sign language. Even the brother learned how to do sign language. God finds a way for us to enter the world like we're supposed to. Teachers are teachers. False teachers, beware. When people begin to read and heed the word of God, you will be discovered. When the false teachers stop using the real word, they're going to be discovered, are they not? At least I hope it's true. When I look on the Facebook page, I see scripture, but it's not scripture from the word. It's scripture from another book. We need to know what God says and stands on his word alone as a final authority.
for life and godliness. This is your final authority here. Peter is to go through it and mark all the pronouns. They and their. Do that one day if you got time. Make a note about what Peter says in each case. You will see what these false teachers look like, how they work, and some of them will teach, or what would they teach. God's word has always warned us by false teachers. Even in Jude, he warns us about the false teachers. Paul warns us about false teachers. It's important. The first example we have in the Bible of a false teacher is, guess where? Genesis chapter 3. My wife always says, why do you go to Genesis all the time? Because that's where everything starts, does it not? God has spoken clearly and given plain instructions and warning to Adam and Eve. There was a tree in the garden where they lived that had forbidden fruit in it. God's word is recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. See, God has a way with words, doesn't he? His words is plain and simple. You can't even get simpler than that. I can remember a little story, too, in Scripture where they were told how to carry the ark. They were not supposed to touch the ark, but when the ark dropped, the man reached over and touched it, and boom, he was out. He was dead. God's word is straight up, you know, straight up as it could be. Okay? Here's what you can do. Here's what you must not do. These are the things that could. Here's the consequences of disobeying. Now, your mother or your father, when you were young, they carry out their task of telling you what to do and what not to do. And if you didn't do it, what happened? A spanking. Now, in high school, I had a coach called Coach Boo Boo. We called him Coach Boo Boo. He had a belly like this. It was bigger than mine. And we called him Coach Boo Boo. And he loved the paddle. He put little holes in his paddle, so when he swat your butt, it stung like a bee. Because we broke his rules. We broke the guidelines. Did he still have the conversation with us and still enjoy being around us? Yes. Now, there's a lady called, back in Britain, I think, the Nanny. That lady. You know Nanny? Super Nanny, we called her. And she goes into the household and teach the parents how to parent. I want my daughter to get her involved. She's going to hate me. Super Nanny. So she taught us how to do timeout, and I loved it. You know, you put the child in timeout for how many minutes, how old they were. And you have to make sure if they get off the stairs, you have to make sure you go pick them up and put them there. Nope. Papa says you got to sit there for 4 minutes. And if she gets up again, you put her back. No matter how hard she fought, you need to put her back. And the key was that if Papa or Mom told you what to do, you need to do it. And my old phrase, even in school, Pastor or Mr. Martin now, I was a Mr. Martin at the time, my word is that gold. You can take it to the bank, because when I tell you something and you don't do it, boom, you got it. We had another guy who, and he got kicked out of school for it too, or at least had to go to a different school. We were sitting here in the morning doing math and other things. We were doing that. He decides to walk through my classroom. He went to Subway across the street, came into the classroom, and start eating a Subway. I said, what are you doing? And you know, a lot of things built up to this problem or leaving. He said, well, I went and got a sandwich. I'm hungry. Really? Out of my classroom.
His name
started with a J. No. And so he left. Never came back. Wrote a letter to the parent. He's not welcome back here yet. To parent and to teach, your word has to be sufficient, just like God's word. Yes, God shows you grace. Yes, God gives you mercy. But God tells you something, you need to do it. Because if you don't, there's going to be consequences of his word. And see, false teachers didn't do that. They were God. They were God. And they wasn't out for them. You, they were out for themselves. Greed, envy, everything. You know, this is how false teachers work. When Adam and Eve was looking at this tree, this beautiful tree, and it wasn't an apple tree, it was just a fruit tree. Okay? So the serpent or the devil gets up to the ear. I bet you that thing looks good, don't it? But God says we could eat it. We'd die. And so Satan got involved, and sure enough, guess what happened? Satan talked her into eating that fruit. And Eve talked Adam into eating the fruit, knowing that if they ate the fruit, God will punish them and will kill them or to punish them. You know? So when Adam and Eve done this, the false teachers was who? Satan. That's how it does. That's how it works. I mentioned earlier, when you go to college, there's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of stuff to sift through what you don't want, what you do want. You know, that's why they have clubs for people. You know? Tell you what, us preachers and teachers are going to get the wrath if we don't teach properly. We're just going to be above the instructions. You know? In Matthew 23:23:1, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That's a no-no. In NLB 23:1, Jesus said to the crowd and to the disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are officially interpreters of Scripture. Did you know God gave us 10 commandments, right? The Pharisees and Sadducees made them into like 613 and probably a little bit more. You know, practice and obey whatever they say to you, but don't follow their examples, for they don't practice what they teach. Now, if you watch the news, there's some little stories out there that might, you know, get into this object about they do whatever they want, but they tell you to do something else. You know, sometimes dad is like that. Sometimes moms are like that. Don't do this. Or here's another one. You don't smoke. And they're sitting there smoking on a cigarette, and they're telling their kids not to smoke. Well, won't you put your cigarettes away, you know? And then tell your children not to smoke. Because they see what they see, they do what they see, and it goes on and on. Now, I was different. No, I wasn't. Because my dad drank, I started drinking alcohol, and I quit cold turkey. You know? They crushed you with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to help ease the burden. Now, you ever look at somebody and they tell you how to shovel something and they just sit back on a chair and watch you instead of going down and helping them do this? I've seen that. So Jesus told them earlier that their worship was in vain because their teaching were but rule taught by men. Jesus had a way with words. He didn't. He is the word of God. I am. We go to John 1:1. And it tells us about who word is. And Jesus says, and God says, and the Spirit says in Genesis, let's make man in our image. And he did so. Would we call Eve a false teacher? Yes or no? Do we see a slight addition to God's command in her response to the serpent's question? Let's look at the other extreme, and then we'll close out. The next kind of false teaching may come in reaction to legalism. I met legalism before. I used to go to church for years that had legalism. You wore slacks, you wore a tie, you wore a jacket to church. That was the standard. It is still the standard today. Ladies, don't wear jeans into this church. You'll be, what is she wearing? You know? That's the other extreme. It may come from a rebellious spirit. But look what the serpent says. He treats the word of God much more like what is described in 2 Peter 2. He directly contradicts God. He denies the word of God, just as those false teachers denies the Lord, who is the word of God. He does just what Peter describes. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed says you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He's checking to see if she even knows the word of God. Do we? But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat, nor should you touch it, lest you die. You weren't even allowed to touch it. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You know? For God knows that in the days you eat of it, in your eyes you will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, that's true. You do know good and evil. But God says not to eat it. People do that today with other people. Look how it's compared to Peter. It tells us in chapter 2 Peter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there would be false teachers among you who will securely bring the destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemy. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. False teachers, false prophet described here, are doing the work of Satan. They're working to destroy your reputation and mine. And we can't allow that to happen. They've been around from the beginning. God knows how to protect his own. He always finds a way how you could get out. If you know the Bible inside and out, there's no way you could be pulled into this. God knows how to protect his own. He will protect and fight for all of you his own. This is also reflects in 2 Timothy 2:17 and 19. As false teachers are going from bad to worse. Look what goes on in the TV. How do you get all these crowds together? There's got to be a leader somewhere along the line. How do they get you to go out and smash windows and do all these other things that goes on? There has to be a window. There has to be a leader that's causing this to happen. False teachers can be not only scripture, but also talking and doing something that you're not knowing what you need to do. All right? We need to keep that in mind. Let's go one more spot. We also see three kinds of teachers described in 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, and hay, and straw, each man's works become evident, for the day will show it, because it is revealed with fire, and fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And we'll continue that. But just to let you know, a note. I approached the three little pigs last week. And the last pig built his house out of brick. He knew better. He knew that the danger was coming, and he built something upon the rock to avoid the wolf blowing down his house. Well, if we build our foundation on the Word of God, we could avoid Satan to tear it down. Because if you don't know God's Word, he could be like him and Adam and Eve with you and him. Remember that when you leave today. Build your foundation upon the Word of God. And you probably could stay out of trouble. Or at least with God and yourself and other people. That's that word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. We ask that you will be with us as we go to our house, enjoy the day. We ask that you bless this day, use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can stand if you want.